Tell me how to say ladies and gentlemen in gender neutral terms.
Hey yo! Hey yo! Hey yo!
Ladies and gentlemen and everybody, welcome to HIAC Talk Radio. What? You were just on last week? Yes, we're on this week. So something significant happened last night. And we're going to do it without mentioning the other guy in the tag team match because he's kind of a POS. Not kind of. That was sarcasm. He's an absolute POS. And I don't care. But we're going to talk about Sting. Well, there's two POSs in that match. I'm not going to mention the other one either. It's not about that. It's about Sting. That's why I ordered the pay-per-view because it was about Steve. But first, ladies and gentlemen and non-binary friends, that's why I just try to say everybody, because I want to be all inclusive. I make a point to put that on the stream. It is for everybody, literally. Well, it's for everybody who doesn't want everybody else that's different genocided. I said that sarcastically because I don't want to get too serious. I should have taken Ashton's lead when she joined Threads and then immediately less than 2 hours later got off of Threads. And I've been having fun on Threads for about a week. And apparently Threads is the new Twitter because everybody that left Twitter because they were pieces of garbage are on Threads, apparently. And that's not true because Twitter's still a cesspool. And sometime after the match last night, which we will talk about in a second, and his career as a whole, I saw somebody randomly thread, Cornette will say negative things. Bischoff will say negative things. WWE fans will say negative things. But this was the spirit of a company that was lost for quite a while. So who cares what they say? Remember the feeling and don't listen to the noise. So I simply chimed in with, and I'm not going to take that away from him. AEW's got a long way to go. There's nothing wrong with that gentleman. He and I follow each other on Threads. I don't know him from Adam. He doesn't know me from Adam. But we align more than we don't align as far as wrestling. So I figured I need more followers. He needs followers. I follow him. He's not the problem. So I just replied with my thought that Jim Cornette is a racist, miserable old man who failed to stay relevant, and Bischoff isn't really that much better. Fuck them. That was great. Implying, who cares what they think? Just, we enjoyed the show. If you enjoyed the, doesn't matter. Jesus Christ, Chris.
Floodgates open.
I've said worse things about Jim Cornette on Twitter and didn't have this many people come after me. There have been 20, I swear I'm 40. I've had 20 or more replies telling me what a piece of garbage I am. And other than the one black gentleman, they're all bearded white dudes or really skinny dudes. I showed you the one screenshot who was like, why don't you stop trying to tell black folks what's racist and what's not and worry about yourself? And I'm like, I mean, he makes fun of other people other than black people. I don't know what to tell you. He used to say some really terrible things about Asian wrestlers. And it is a product of, and that's why I don't harp on it that much, really, is because it's just older terms more so than slurring them and saying they should all be eradicated, because he doesn't say that. I wasn't even referencing the Ethiopian comment he made on NWA, which he had made years before. I wouldn't even talk about that. I was just saying in general. I am a Jim Cornette fan. I was a huge Jim Cornette fan. You and I talked about it.
Yes.
Nauseam about it. And there was wrestling before Jim Cornette was a manager. There was wrestling after Jim Cornette was a manager. That's not taking that away from him. He has turned out to be a not so great borderline racist, homophobic podcast host. That's just the way of it. If he learned terminology correctly and evolved and changed, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I can acknowledge the things that he's done then and the things that he's doing now and why I like and don't like the past and the proof. Ric Flair's contributions to wrestling ad nauseum. I just like saying that now. I nodded him. Are changed the wrestling business forever. As a person, piece of crap. Don't like him. Want nothing to do with him. If he was an active wrestler, it'd be a little more of a problem. But now that he's not active, get him off TV. We're not going to mention that either. That's as far as we're going. But all I see are people just coming at me. And I have an answer for all of them because I thought this through before I said it. I know it's not, you know, against popular belief, but I thought it through. And I mentioned the relevancy. People's like, well, he's relevant. More people watch him than watch AEW. I was like, well, no. First of all, number one, but number two, what wrestling company does he work for? He doesn't. Okay, thank you. That's all. I didn't say, fuck him. He can't be in wrestling. I say he literally doesn't work in the business.
Yeah.
He's a podcaster. And he doesn't want to go to conventions to be around people like you because you're fucking annoying. Just saying. Am I wrong, Craig?
No.
Thank you. Now we can debate the racism part, but you know, for everyone going, well, New Jack, I have three examples of him spouting the N-word on tape and this and that. It's all out there in public. He says a lot of this on his podcast when he doesn't see something he likes. When he mentions dick liquor, air quotes, as an insult, guess what, folks? That's homophobic. I don't think he's trying to be, but when you use that as an insult, you tell me. This is not hard. This is not rocket science. And I'm sorry that offended you. And the PS, I'm not sorry I offended you. That was sarcasm also. But the PS to the story is everybody's like, well, you know, it's better than AEW. I don't know if you could read, but if you can't, maybe just scroll through a timeline of somebody you're going to try to troll on the internet first. I am not an AEW fanboy. I despise Tony Khan as a booker and as a boss. Not a great fan of him as a person either. And I think the company has gone down the hill. I'm not saying it's over for him, but one company went like this, despite the bullshit they're going through in the back. And one company kind of... after Wembley, for no fault of anybody else's other than their own, CM Punk. That's all. I just wanted to get that out of the way. I don't know one of the replies is, why do you care so much? Can't you enjoy it without worry about, I'm going to read it like he wrote it. Can't you enjoy it without worry about other people's opinions? Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
I said, fuck them. Implying, who gives a shit? This was a good show. I got to stop waking up in the morning and with a fresh slate and giving everybody the benefit of the doubt because you're all stupid. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but holy Jesus.
I didn't know you would elicit so much of a reaction, Dan. It's almost like you're new to Threads, but it's almost like your reputation preceded you. It's like, oh, I know this guy.
I hope so.
Yeah, but I'm trying to grasp at straws here as to why that singular comment
got so many people upset.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was the words you used. Maybe because you invoked. You took Jim Cornette's name in vain, and whether it was positive or negative, that's already going to trigger AEW fans.
No, they're all anti-AEW fans. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And as far as that, I'm like, well, I own one AEW t-shirt, and it's because it's Abaddon's. One. I'm going to have two when I get one of those Sting shirts, because that's a perfect segue.
Yeah.
But and funny enough, in a weird twist of irony, I ordered Revolution last night. A lot of thoughts about last night. Did you see it, first of all? Did you end up watching it?
I ended up I got a little bit of it. Thank you for the link.
Yeah,
but
I
it
know.
Kept freezing and I got frustrated, but then you go on social media, the amount of people that tried to watch it through Bleacher Report who legitimately paid to see it didn't see it. I hope there was some type of explanation or something as to why it happened. So long story short, too late. I know I did not see it. I
right.
was just catching it the live feeds on Twitter and on YouTube.
I will say this. I have an update about Bleacher Report and why it was, because Bleacher Report is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's why.
Okay.
It's fucking hard. And as soon as I logged in and bought it and tried to get it to go through, it reminded me of the last time I tried to use it when it was all out in Wembley and I wanted to throw something across the floor because it is a piece of shit website. Terrible. Terrible. Oh my God. It was, my dog's barking out, but I don't know if you can hear that. Oh my God. The only reason why I knew I had ordered the pay-per-view is because I checked the bill and saw that the charge went through, because it kept saying, it wasn't saying payment denied. It was, there was an error in the payment process. And I'm like, well, that's not my problem. So I missed, it was 47, 48 minutes into the show when I finally got access to it.
Wow.
And $50. And I don't mind. Hey, I was debating it all week. But then when we got right down to it, and again, to steal a line from a person I apparently just wrong about, when it came to nut cutting time, I saw, I'm gonna go over all this again, but I saw the video packages and the Players Tribune article and the voicemails and all of that stuff. And I was like, all right, I have to watch this. This really is it. And part of me was weary because of what WWE did to him. I heard that whole thing outside. Who was he barking at? Oh, okay. Hi, guys. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. The dogs came into the room. But I saw all the videos that were getting produced, the articles and the tributes, and it really seemed like it was going to come off as the end. And again, all that weariness I had after the WWE debacle, I was nervous, but we had no reason to be, because I'm just going to get this off my chest. We're just going to get this out here. It's well noted how we feel about AEW as a whole. The AEW made Sting look better than he has, even in AEW, in the last 2 years. Even towards the end. That was spectacular. And I know we always talk about high spots and when to use them, and this was that moment. I don't care about the one dude. Safety. Couldn't care less of a shit. But the Sting had, what, two layers on when he went through the glass?
Yeah.
Big bump from the stage to the... It's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And in an unexpected twist where I have a little bit more of respect. It's a little bit for the Young Bucks. A little bit. Because it was done right. They did the job. He went out on top as a tag team champion with a win. You couldn't have ended it better. The video packages beforehand were incredibly done. The video that played right before his entrance, I didn't expect this. I always make fun of Sting's acting, but he got me, dude. Like, There was a, so he walks into this movie theater. He walks to this movie theater, sits down and watches this silent movie of his career and different shots of NWA, New Japan, nothing from TNA, a couple pictures, nothing from WWE, just pictures and leading up from AEW. But there was a couple times they showed pictures of, I think in the picture was Rick Rude and a bunch of other wrestlers and him, and he was the only one in that picture alive.
Yeah.
And he looked down, and I could feel that lump coming. I was like, and then it showed a picture of his mom and him when he was Wolfpack Sting, and his two young sons dressed up as him at the time, and he had another look on his face that really, tears. And then just the package itself of that little retrospective before he came out really got me. And I was like, wow, now I'm even more worried about the end of this because this has all been great so far. Then the big moment, his music hit, and out came, I will be honest,
Were you fooled? I was fooled.
Right. For at least 3 seconds, I'm like, oh my God, he went back to Sir. Oh, that's a son. Because like another man I idolize in my life, Phil Collins, the man can't do anything, can't help but make replicants.
Yes.
His children look exactly like him. Phil Collins' kids look just like him, even Lily. The boys, the girls, they all look like this dude. Couldn't deny him if he tried. So he came out as the Bash 90 Surfer Sting, the oldest son, and his youngest son came out as Wolfpack Sting. And then Seek and Destroy by Metallica came out, started playing. Fired me up. I stood for the rest of the match. Now, for those who don't know, the big Sting mark here. In fact, I can't zoom in on it, but right above my finger, there is Daphne. Right here behind her are 4 different Sting action figures I collected over the years. Surfer Sting from the TNA, Crow Sting, 2 Crow Stings from WWE, and there's another, there's the green and black Sting behind that. I was so obsessed with him that as a younger gentleman, that I actually had a picture of the autograph he wrote on the wall in Las Vegas when my mom and stepfather went.
Wow.
It's just a picture of it. So, and the match went off. Like I said, it that's when you do that stuff. All those high risk spots. This was the big show moment. No relation to Paul White. There was a, see, this goes, and I know, Craig, it goes directly against everything you believe in the match, but there was a sequence where the Young Bucks, the guy who should remain nameless, did a spot where he jumped from the ladder down to one of the Young Bucks that was laying across a plane of glass on top of chairs, and the other buck moved him, and that guy, who I won't say, fell onto it back first and destroyed his back, went through it, died. I don't know how he's alive, and I was like, oh, we were so close. But that left Sting alone. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment where there were 2 funny but also awesome moments. Again, this is a guy who's been wrestling for 4 decades. Almost 5 decades. So a little bit of the, you know what? I'm suspending all the beliefs and rules when this has come, because this ain't going to be Clash 88 or 89. This is going to be a send off, and he's going to get the rubs, and he got all the rubs. There was a moment where they parodied. This is the one thing I thought you would laugh if you were ever going to laugh at the Young Bucks, because we're both real huge fans, this would have been it, because it was a direct parody of Shawn Michaels' Ric Flair, where Shawn Michaels did the loaded up the band, and right before he hit him with sweet chin music to put him down, unfortunately not for good. And I mean in wrestling, not his life, but also a bonus. He goes, "I'm sorry, I love you," and then hits him with sweet chin music, and he's out. The Young Bucks looked at Sting, who's like, "Uh-oh, he's about to be down for the count," and looked at him. He goes, "We're not sorry. We don't like you," and hit him with the double sweet. And Sting did the thing where first of all, at 64, I don't know how he went. He didn't go that far back, but I don't know how he went that far back and didn't fall.
Yeah, that was a major flexibility.
You saw that, right?
Yes.
But he held his pose and just looked up.
Yeah.
And I have chills thinking, Craig, I have chills thinking about it now, because Sting was like, he just stood up straight, did the thing.
He did a standing Undertaker.
He did a stick up.
Yep.
Instead of a kick up or a kip up. There is another moment where he took one EVP, or it was two EVPs, and they hit him with the first one, and it was a close three count, and he kicked out. So they picked him up and did it again, and he did a one count, kicked out of it, and laughed at their faces. And I was like, this is working. Because Sting has always been a superhero. We don't know what Sting is other than he's unstoppable most of the time. And just a little asterisk that Kelly pointed out at the end, a tag team partner that didn't turn on him.
Yes.
They won straight up. Still tag team champions. The feed cut off. Now, where the only thing I think they screwed up is where Sting had his match on Raw for the first time, they immediately went to the network for his promo because the time slot on network was done. They did not have that ready. AEW. And I'm like, all right, touche. However, the man joined at the press conference. I don't think he's done. I don't recall that he's done since being with the company, and had a really good, honest, no bullshit Q&A with reporters, and pretty much made it straight known that don't want to be an agent, don't want to be a manager. I'm done. Tony did try to convince him to do Wembley, make that his go away, but he's like, no, this is the times now. It's right. He made a very interesting comment about the early days when he was a Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Warrior, that what were the early days like? It was basically summarized by him. Two roided up dudes that were going to kill each other. And you heard this silence, not like a gasp, but like a, oh, he goes, no, really, I'm just telling you. Just telling you like it is. I'm just straight shooting with you, he said. We were going to kill each other. He goes, that roid stuff, that ended for me in 90, and for Jim, it never did. I was like, whoa.
Which pretty much just
confirmed
what, you know, most smart fans knew. And like I've always said about Sting, I was never the fan of his that you are, but you can objectively look at him and the Warrior from their Blade Runner days and where their careers went. One got better. And because one wanted to get better and wanted to listen and wanted to learn, and the other didn't. And you can see that Sting had a 40-year career where he got better, and he got to wrestle against some of the best wrestlers in the world while getting better. And granted, he had some of the best teaching him early. But he had the same advantages that the Jim Helwig had, and again, Sting got better, and the other didn't. And to have someone at the end of their career wrestle the exact same way they did as a Blade Runner shows you the path.
Yeah,
he took. Helwig never got better.
No,
but Sting did. I remember you asked me. Well, one time on this very podcast, you asked me if I thought Sting was a good wrestler. because you didn't know if I thought he was a good wrestler. And I said, yeah. I mean, no one's going to confuse him with Ricky Steamboat, but he's, for what
Who was there last night?
he was there last night, along with DDP, Lex Luger, and Magnum
Magnum
TA.
TA. That was cool. But what,
Amazing.
Steamboat got involved.
Yes,
Yeah.
because it's Carolina, and
Yep.
why?
Place went nuts like it was 1990 again.
Exactly, because it was that's where Sting first it became a star. The first, very first Clash of Champions, same day as WrestleMania 4, and to be a good wrestler, I mean, and Flair picked him to do a 1 hour draw with, and he could have picked Dusty, played it safe. He could have picked Barry Windham. He could have picked anyone that he had experience with that he knew could give you a 1 hour match, but he picked Sting. And to do a 1 hour match with Flair, who had done more 1 hour matches in his career than Sting has had matches in his career. And it was great. And it was a star-making vehicle. And Sting's never looked back. He's been a main eventer ever since then. And this was, again, 1988. You can't get better than that. And you to be in a ring with or have a 1 hour match with Ric Flair on national television, on the actual cable TV, and on that day, opposite WrestleMania, more people saw Ric Flair and Sting than saw Hogan and DiBiase. That does wonders. Still galls me that his last match would be in Carolina, would be against two guys that didn't deserve to be there when
Yeah,
FTR,
still agreed. Still
who's from
agreed.
Carolina.
Who lost that night?
Whole nother podcast
Yeah, I know. I know.
still bugs the shit out of me. But
I know.
they could have had a
Agreed.
match with Darby and Sting where no one would have gone through any plate glass windows or tables, and it would have been just as good.
I will. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I don't have a counterpoint. I just wanted to add, at least, at the very least, they went against what we knew and did what they were supposed to do, which
Yes.
is he went over solidly,
Yes.
period. Because I would have been really upset. It really is. Well, he's old. He's not supposed to win.
If you lost, you would have really seen the amount of influence that the EVPs do have in the company. And I know the people thought that them winning would mean that the Bucks are really committed to being heels. And what better way than to ruin Sting's final match? But they did what's best for business. So now there
Yeah.
can be yet another tournament the Young Bucks can win. So they can get their
Yeah,
tag
that's
team.
the only thing I'm not looking forward to is this tournament, which but that's for that is, as you say, HNP. This is about Sting tonight.
Yes, it is about Sting.
I wanted to point out a tweet from D Denelli. Shit, I can never pronounce the name. DNELLICIOUS.
Demolition.
Denelicious. Never really spent the time to look at that one. He's summed it up wonderfully. While I did not watch the show, Sting's retirement is kind of crazy in wrestling. Wrestling for 5 decades is huge, but wrestling for 5 decades and retiring without people outing you as a racist abuser beforehand, that's a good ass man with morals. Good for him. You know, like, has there ever been someone condemning him? I never knew he was religious. There has been something really prevalent on screen, so I think that trumps him being a racist rapist right now. Exactly. Yes, he became a born again Christian, but you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't shove it in your face. He doesn't make it his personality. It saved him. If that's what he thinks saved him when he was at his worst, who the hell am I, you or anybody else? He's not out there advocating for the rights of others to be taken away. He simply is a man of God, legitimate. He's an actual Christian, like it says in the book, not like all these fucking assholes say it says in the book, where it says, yes, all gay people are bad. That's not in there. Not the way they're saying it. Jesus was love everybody. Also, keep thy religion to yourself, to quote George Carlin. He had a movie that came out over a decade ago, which is about him and finding Jesus and becoming a born again Christian. It wasn't shoved out there for everybody to see. It came out. If you were a fan, you knew where to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. He never once, other than personally mentioning, I prayed to God, this was a blessing. He never said we should. He's not like fucking Mark Wahlberg, every other ad on TikTok going, you should pray with us. You should do this. He's not Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Did it himself. That to me says, reinforces that comment about him not being a piece of crap.
Yes.
He never put it onto others. The only time he did, air quotes, was when he suggested to Shawn Michaels, hey, why don't you come over here? Hey, Lex Luger, why don't you come over here? Maybe I can help you. And they're both still with it. Lex Luger should have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I don't like him. Also, HNP.
Yeah.
I don't know what other else the man needed to do to prove that he wasn't a piece of garbage. A preachy piece of garbage. My mom, who is super religious, didn't even know that movie came out until I showed it to her. And yes, I have that movie because it's Sting.
Duh.
Meltzer said the Sting was there in chat. Meltzer said the Sting retirement match is on the same level, if not better, than Shawn's last match against Taker.
I'm not a fan of Shawn or Taker, but I will.
I was going to say that's a bad example for you.
Yeah, but still, I will put that match over this one with Sting and the other guys in this.
Well, it all depends on Sting is. Well, listen, Taker and Shawn is fantastic, but Sting is the end all be all of wrestling for me. So of course, I like it better.
Yeah, and
it's the person.
I get it.
Self-aware here on HIAC. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm also thinking about the career of Sting and the legacy of Sting. This wasn't, and the reason I wouldn't put that over Shawn and Undertaker because Shawn and Undertaker had the type of match that had a Shawn Michaels match and an Undertaker match, and it worked for both of them because they can how well they worked with each other and how Undertaker can work a Shawn Michaels type match, and how Shawn, thanks to his matches with Scott Hall, can work against big guys and bump like a, you know, like a gymnast and look amazing, and also can sell really great and tell a story. His final match, Sting's final match yesterday, wasn't a Sting match. It was a Young Bucks match, and it was, sadly, it was an AEW match. How many tables has Sting gone through in his whole 40-year career before he got to AEW? None. But in AEW, he's got to go through tables. His partner's got to go through real glass, Cry Me a River, and he's got to do a match. He's got to do an EVP type of match, which furthered my hatred for them because it wasn't a Sting match, you know.
He can't have a Sting match. This is the match he can have.
Yeah,
matches aren't happening no more.
Yeah, and I'm glad. I mean, obviously, that's why it was a tag team match because Sting didn't have to do a whole
tornado
lot.
Tornado tag, yes, exactly.
Yeah, but the stuff that
that's he why did, I did get nervous when he was alone, Craig, because I'm like, where's that guy? We need that guy right now, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
It was the kick to the balls to me.
Yeah.
He got kicked to the balls and they couldn't get him. It was a superhero. It was a superhero being taken on by the villains and the superhero won. Why did I sound very Philadelphia there when I said that?
I don't know.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not disagreeing with you. I was just at. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that it cheapened it for me because as great as it was for him to end his career in Charlotte and the way he wanted it to, with the people he wanted it to be with, no, you can't ask for more. And I agree with everything that was said at the beginning. He's leaving wrestling the way we've seen so many retirement matches or wrestlers have their last match and it wasn't, or it was lackadaisical, or in the case of Kurt Angle, it was just what the fuck. But he got to do it his way, so I can't fault him for that, despite the type of match it was or his opponents. We got no control over that. We're here to celebrate the legacy and the career of one of the greatest to ever do it. And if you saw the very beginning of his career, you never thought I would see this man 40 years later. If you saw the type of tree trunks that he and his partner were in Memphis, the Freedom Fighters, one of which was Norman Smiley, actually, when they first started. But no, never thought either one of those guys would have a 40-year career. But that's a testament to him and his hard work and him wanting to get better. So I was more than happy to celebrate the career of Sting, to come on here tonight, talk about the career of Sting and what he's meant to so many people for so many years. I love the opening, even though they didn't have any WCW footage or WWE footage. I'm just finding out this afternoon, because while you were going through your own thread, there was a whole thread on social media about how AEW didn't have any trouble giving WWE footage for Cody Rhodes, but WWE couldn't give AEW any of Sting's WCW footage or WWE footage. Turns out they didn't ask, or no one asked WWE for Sting footage.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah.
I saw that too. And you know, they didn't need it. They had enough.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
And thanks to Pro Wrestling Illustrated, they had plenty of photos of Sting in WCW and WWE. So yeah, it was really well done.
And WWE mentioned it on broadcast tonight on Raw.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Shout out to Sting, retirement.
Mm-hmm.
All good to go. Twitter making something out of nothing. It's just what they do. Like this stretch stuff going on right now. I'm having fun with it.
Good.
I'm enjoying that because I am not taking this seriously. I don't even take myself that seriously. Settle down. Settle down. And one of the things I thought about, this is not going to be a long one. We're almost finished here. One of the things I was thinking about is I was so lucky. I saw Sting in person hundreds of times in the WCW days in Philadelphia. But one of my favorite moments, outside of the greatest hits, honorable mention, I guess, if you will, is that match at the Spectrum, the last Nitro ever at the Spectrum, 1999, October 16th or 18th, Bret Hart versus Sting for the WCW title on the first hour Raw matchup against Raw's first hour. Wasn't advertised, got it. Incredible. I very selfishly put that at the very top of my favorite moments because I'm like, I have two of my favorites right there. There they are. And it was incredible. 22 minutes. Incredible. There wasn't very many guys that couldn't get a good match out of Sting and vice versa. That was me trying to throw it off to you, Craig. Does Brett ever talk about Sting? That's perfect timing. Dustin, I will look that up, and Craig, now that he's prepared, will I hopefully answer something.
Yeah.
Sorry, Craig. I thought I telegraphed that better. I apologize.
No, it was fine. It was fine. Yeah, Brett has talked about Sting, and particularly because they use the same, you know, finishing maneuver, and you know they had always been parallel to each other, and they were both champions at the same time in their respective companies. And it was his breath desire when he first got to the WCW was to face Sting, because obviously that's what everyone wanted, and that's what he wanted. They never had any issue or any quarrel, and outside of his breath frustration of being in WCW and how he was used, he never had any problems with Sting. I think he was looking forward to wrestling him. And you know, Brett doesn't he can have a good match with anyone. And Brett only singled out a few people that he really enjoys working with. You know, you can count on one hand how many people he's had just glowing things to say about. You know, Stone Cold was one, Kurt Hennig was, Rick Steamboat was another one. But he didn't go out of his way to talk about a lot of people that he enjoyed working with. Pretty much, if Brett enjoyed working with you, he didn't say it in it. Yeah, the only, like, if he didn't, you'd know about it, Hoff Goldberg, or Kevin Nash, but and Sean, obviously. But and he enjoyed working with Sean. He just didn't like him as a person, but they had great matches. With Sting, the last point about Sting, he could have a great. I always thought the weirdest combinations during his WCW years when he was a top guy. Sting versus Flair, great matches, sold out. Flair versus Luger, great matches, sold out. Sting versus Luger,
no,
didn't work.
That's why they didn't do it very often after a couple times.
They barely worked as a tag team, but yeah.
It was their tag team.
Yeah.
Keep it at that. I actually found a tweet from an article in December 2020. Bret Hart on his respect for Sting. Sting was a class guy. Oh, Sting was a class guy. No, just a first-rate guy. I could hear him saying this. So yeah. Canadian. Sting was a class guy. Just a first-rate guy. Great guy to work with. A real friend. Never saw any ounce of ego. Just a team player all the way. And I always had a lot of respect for him. He really made coming to work fun. And Sting replied to that. And interestingly, the picture, the still on that tweet is from that match at the Spectrum I just mentioned.
I saw. Yeah.
The feeling is mutual, Bret Hart. Enjoyed working with you. Great finisher. My one regret is I never got to see a Stinger cartoon from you. And those who don't know, Bret Hart does sketches of everybody.
And they're really good, too.
Very good. I wondered if you ever did one, because I kind of want to see a Stinger sketch now from him.
Yeah. Maybe you will now. He's got time.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of timelined out that Sting actually did the Scorpion before he did the Sharpshooter? Is that true?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Are you sure?
No. When did Brett turn face? Brett turned face at the. At WrestleMania 4 at the Battle Royal, and that's when he started his singles run. Sting did it first, because WrestleMania 4, we're just talking about it. That was Clash of Champions, the same day. So the same day that Brett turned face, Sting wrestled Flair for the NWA Championship, and
just found it. Yep.
When they rang the bell, Sting at the Scorpion Deathlock on Flair. So Sting used it first, had the Scorpion Deathlock, preceded the Sharpshooter.
Took Brett two more years, because they were doing, as a tag team, they were doing the Heart Attack.
Yeah, and Brett and Brett went solo and turned face at WrestleMania 4 and
grabbed the Sharpshooter.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, just like anything else, Bret Hart made it look better.
Yes.
But that's also on a whole nother podcast. But yes, There is an interview that Sting even mentions where he saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm taking, that's it. I got it. That's my finishing move. Because it was the Stinger Splash for a little bit.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, this is even before the reverse DDT Scorpion Death Drop. The Stinger Splash was the move.
Yeah, and he did that. I was like, he did that by accident. He was when he was in the UWF with Bill Watts, and he turned face when he turned on Eddie Gilbert. He threw the guy into the turnbuckle, and he was so hype he was just going to jump and give him a clothesline, but he ended up landing on him, and that became the Stinger Splash because he would be so out of control. That stuff would happen. You remember the Clash of Champions where he wasn't wrestling and he just ran in the ring and just leaped up in the air and fell on his back? And because, see, I'm not even wrestling tonight, but I painted on my face and I got physical in the ring. And Jim Ross said, Stinger going crazy here tonight. That was the Stinger Splash. That was not a planned move. That was him just jumping up and landing on a guy who didn't know was coming.
I found it. Ricky Choshu.
Yeah, Ricky Choshu. Yeah.
Choshu, thank you. I knew I was pronouncing it wrong, and I figured if I just threw it out there, you'd have it. Yeah. Ricky Choshu, he saw Ricky Choshu do it when Bill Watts and Giant Baba had Sting out there in Japan. And he was like, can I take that out? Yeah, sure. He took it to America with him.
The first time I ever saw it, though, was Mr. Saito. He was on Hulk Hogan in 1983, and it was a still photo when they were when Hogan first turned face. Well, this is during the when Rocky III came out. Hogan was wrestling go up against Mr. Saito and Dave Schultz in handicap matches. That's how over he was, but Saito, all 5'10" of them had Hogan in a Scorpion. Or sharpshooter, but that was the first time I saw it. That was in 83. So the move's been around for a while.
You know, we talk about people evolving. Sting did a bit of that. Not only like physically the way he looked, and then there was that one huge leap from Surfer to Crow, but you know, he had the Stinger Splash, and he shortly added the Scorpion Death Lock after that. And then in the mid 90s, late 90s, he added the Death Drop.
Mm hmm.
But he's always adding stuff. God, that Death Drop. When they had the right guy taking it, that looked great.
Yes.
It looked fine 90% of the time, but you had that 10% who could take it like a champ. Brett, yeah. DDP. Hogan took it flat like a fish because he is.
Yeah. Nash took it well.
Nash took it well, and he was like almost 7 feet tall, and it looked good.
Even out Triple H when Sting made his debut.
Triple H made it look great.
Mm-hmm.
Sting has had this from Dustin again in chat. Sting has had a 40-year career, but I still never think he got the credit he deserved. I blame the WWE for that. They botched everything involving him. Even a Survivor Series debut where he helped Ziggler was fucked up because 2 weeks later the bad guys were reinstated. Man, you're not lying. Let's just talk about that for a second. And I'll never forget being on this show when it was still Dean and Omega and I, and Dean kind of being like, really? And when he was like, Sting's going to win? I'm like, no, he's not. No, he's not. Sting's not going to win that match. It's going to be Triple H. I didn't realize how much of a foobar cluster F it was going to be, but it's been a race now. For better or for worse, it's been a race now, but TNA, his run in TNA was fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I love Joker Sting, and I still, when I run across a clip of it, enjoy it because he was having fun with it. Because Sting, he did wrestling that long, but you could tell when he wasn't enjoying something. You could tell. There's a guy that pretty much is not a great actor, so you could tell.
When he lost to Rob Van Dam in 10 seconds, that was one of the reasons.
Him having to wrestle and deal with a cluster effed Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Was not a highlight.
Mm-mm.
I'm glad he's more okay than not now, but
I will say that I enjoyed his time in, and this is in also in my top five of most underrated stables in wrestling history. I did enjoy his time in Main Event Mafia.
Main Event Mafia. He was wonderful.
Yeah.
Dropped the face paint, wore the glasses and the suit, didn't say much.
Yeah.
The WWE, and it sucks because they had that WrestleMania and it almost felt like they were going to try to get it back to him on that Raw run he had with Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And I still swear, I still feel that they were going to give him the title.
Yeah.
And then remember, Sheamus was the Money in the Bank. And I just was like, you have him win. You give him 30 seconds to a minute, celebrate, confetti, crowd goes nuts. You get your pictures of him holding the belt. He gets on the record book as being WWE champion. Out comes Sheamus, kicks his head, the old man's head off into the stands. Sting retires without a head. Sheamus is world champion. He goes over on Sting and I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but I really feel that Sting was going to win that. And then you had the Buckle Bomb.
Yeah.
The two. Mm-hmm. And again, wanted to reiterate, that was not Seth. That was Sting. He said it himself several times. It was my fault. And then I told him to do it again.
Right.
We're going to ignore WrestleMania now. And of course, let's talk about the run. The NWO comes in. Fake Sting comes out, attacks Lex Luger in the rain with Ted DiBiase distracting him. It happens quick enough where most people are like, oh no, he said, fuck Sting, boo. But some of us who are more wiser to the fact that he put on 40 pounds over a week, we're like, I don't think so. Not that Jeff is fat. Jeff, Mr. Farmer, who still plays bogus Sting every now and then and is always perpetually in the NWO. which I love. I love that little side story.
Him and Vincent were always in the NWO team.
Yep. No matter what.
Yes. RIP. Mike Jones.
Yes. Yes. Mike Jones. Soul Man Jones. You forget that late WCW run he had on Saturday night. Well, I'm sure. I mean, you probably didn't, but others. but, you know, the lead up to Fall Brawl that year, Fall Brawl 96, was where the NWO hit high gear. Destroyed the Horsemen for one of 3 years in a row or 2 years in a row. you think it's over. They're getting the crap beat out of them. And all of a sudden, Real Sting comes out, saves the day, but then tells you, ah, you didn't believe me. I told you, you guys turn on me. I never turn on you. Fuck all of y'all. I'm out. The only thing's for sure about Sting is nothing's for sure.
For sure.
And you had months. Yeah. 17 of silence.
Not saying a word.
Not a word. Which would argue. The man learned to do promos the second half of the 20 years.
Yes.
I'm sorry, the second half of the 40. Didn't cut a bad promo in the last 10 years.
No.
Can't believe I just said that.
Yeah.
I used to call them the Big Five because there was about five promos in the WCW. 10 years he was with NWA, WCW, where I'm like, that's good, that's good, that one's good, that one's okay, that one's great. The other ones were bad.
Yeah.
Self-admitted, he sucks. But I could tell you the five, and I could word them for, could do them word for word. But one of them was at the Spectrum, my friend.
Of course.
And you took, and we all know who you are, but he's such a great guy and not racist and not a bad dude at all. Hulk Hogan. Terry Bollea is a great dude. You had all that build up and you let politics destroy it. And Sting, as mentioned by Tony Khan and several other wrestlers and people that worked with him, Eric Bischoff included, might be a fault. I agree it was a fault. Who didn't feel like fighting was like, well, hey, man, we'll just figure it out. Instead of going, no, this is my... Fuck you, my time.
Yeah.
This is it. This is what we've been building for. Don't change it now. And the clusterfuck that Starrcade 97 was. But up till that point, incredible. How many months? We go 6 months. We weren't sure what side he was on. And he finally comes out and just beats the whole ever-loving hell out of everybody in the NWO. Roadhouse style.
Roadhouse.
I'm going to miss that guy. He's not dead, but I'm gonna go through all the DVDs and tapes I have this weekend and just watch Sting. And I thought it was a good capper. We might not agree on how it was done, but it was the book might have not been written correctly, but the end was good. I'll say it like that.
The fact that he went out the way he wanted to, so many wrestlers, you know,
do not get that choice.
Don't get that choice. He did. Everything was done right for him, including the venue where he first became a national, you know, star. Was perfect for him. I'm glad he wasn't hurt. I'm glad it was his last match because he decided to walk away, not because, you know, he had no choice. I said about the other person who retired today. You just said he's not dead. We're going to see him again. I'm sure he'll be at Wembley, just not in the ring. But he's still going to be part of the company, I hope, anyway, because he's got a lot to impart and a lot to learn. And Tony, I think the only bigger Sting mark than you is probably is Tony. So Tony's not going to let him go anywhere. I'm sure he'll still pay him a king's ransom just to sit at home. But we'll see Sting again. But for now, he's earned a rest. He's the career he's had. Which again, didn't think he was going to have, especially not the way he started, but the way he ended was nothing short of spectacular. He's earned everything he's gotten, every award, every fan award, every change he's gone through, every iconic look he's had. You can see that in his sons now. Hopefully we'll see that in the future, because it's further. I mean, Sting's sons are both bigger than the Young Bucks. So
yeah, much.
Yeah,
so one of them was a star college football athlete.
Yeah, whether or not they want to follow in their father's footsteps, again, completely up to them. But it would be nice to see that the legacy continue. We'll say this about Steve Borden. I enjoyed the time that I did see him. When I got to see him live, when I got to see him on television, his matches with Muda are still some of my favorites. Just wrestling matches, not just Sting matches, just wrestling matches. But I will say to Steve Borden, as someone who wasn't a major Stinger fan and didn't paint my face, didn't have my hair cut like him.
Shameful.
I'm very proud of him. I can say to Steve Borden, I'm very proud of you.
I love you, Steve.
You've had an amazing career. You've done an amazing job. You touched so many millions and millions of kids, of future wrestlers, of wrestlers now that grew up watching you, that
Steve
painted their face.
CM Punk.
And got the haircut like you.
Not CM Punk.
Yeah, and even the ones that became wrestling fans because of the ones that never even saw The Crow. I mean, you have people that saw The Crow and said, oh, Brandon Lee's copying Sting.
Yeah, he got shot too.
Yeah, and to find out that Sting never saw the movie.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was Scott Hall that suggested.
Yeah, I was about to quote, hey, Sting, why don't you paint your face like The Crow?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. What's that?
Yeah, I think, okay.
Okay, now show me what that is. Oh, man. Yeah, it was, I had a good time. That, you know what's important, dude?
What?
I had a good fucking time watching that.
That's the most important thing. If you were watching, you were so excited to see Sting's last match and it was the drizzling shits, that would have sucked.
I mean, for a year and a half there, it was the last match I saw was him and Nitro wearing it with Ric Flair wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
And that has been raced tenfold at this point.
Yeah, and that's another tribute to him, because Sting, I mean, there have been long absences in Sting's career where he wasn't wrestling, where he wasn't on any national program. But when he came back, it was huge. That was because of the legacy that he had. I will say, as much as they botched his time in WWE, his buildup was incredible. For having his face on the video games, and you know, I can still hear Bradshaw scream at the top of his lungs, 3-time NWA champion, 5-time WCW heavyweight champion, the icon, the franchise. You know, he knew the legacy. He knew how great he was, and how much he means to professional wrestling. It's a big deal. And for a guy to go away for as many times as he has, and when he shows up, like when he showed up on TNA, when he showed up in AEW, it's a big deal.
I didn't see this, so I apologize. Dustin said, Dan Bischoff states that the Starrcade 98 was 97. Fiasco was due to Sting not being in good headspace.
No.
Sting was not in a good headspace in 97. From 97 to 98, Sting was in a terrible headspace. Painkiller, the substance abuse, marriage problems. He was not in a good headspace. That's not why. That might be why Bischoff thinks Starrcade 97 was a cluster. But when you pull away from Eazy-E, which is kind of insulting we call him that now, isn't it?
Yes.
I never really thought about it until I just said that word.
Yeah, that's something that's got
to take that back.
Yeah.
Never mind. We got to stop that. That's because Hulk Hogan is about as hip as a replacement for Roddy Piper. Anyway.
No, Hulk called him that. He was the first one to call him Eazy-E.
Right, well, Hulk's but it was
Hulk Hogan getting to Nick Patrick is that what ruined Starrcade 97.
Yes. Yes. There was a whole bunch of, see, later on, and a lot of it's still on the network because it's not deleted, but there is a lot of interviews that points to political disagreements leading up to the end, months leading up to that. And also where one thought we had it figured out, now we don't have it figured out, and a certain creative control. No matter how much Eric Bischoff, who always tells the truth, denies it. And especially no matter how much Terry denies it, there was a stipulation that gave Hulk, maybe creative control is the wrong terminology, a final call on how his matches would go. And he wanted not to drop. Sting might not have been in a good headspace to deal with that. But that's not on Sting.
Mm-mm.
The problem, my only issue with Mr. Borden is he was too goddamn nice in a business full of terrible people.
Yes.
Tell Hogan to go fuck himself. No, this is my moment. That's the point.
Yeah.
This, we've been doing this for a year and a half. We're not changing it now.
Mm-mm.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's the only problem I have with Sting, that he never told him that. Dustin said, I've only seen the 83 weeks episode. I like Eric Bischoff's podcast very much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to cause issues with more people. Bischoff has what I'm going to say this very carefully. Bischoff has, just in case it gets out, Eric Bischoff has what I perceive as a very warped, not warped, he has a different memory of things sometimes.
Yes.
And that's selective. Also because,
yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
And then, a little selective memory.
A little selective, but also Bischoff was getting maybe 2 hours of sleep a night when he was running Nitro.
Yes.
Some of that's gone and some of that is bundled up. Or jumbled up. The man was flying his own planes to the shows to get there.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot going on in Bischoff's life in that, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then they throw, we need another show. Thunder, do it. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And of course, Conrad apparently blasted him for it. Dustin, please summarize what Conrad said to him. Because Conrad's probably like me going, wait a minute. No, that's not what happened. Baldy over here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it about that, though. But no, no, that was, it was a political backstage disagreement about the finish. And Sting balked. And we have that terrible non-fast three count by Nick Patrick and Bret Hart's ruined spot in one match, one foul swoop. You took 17 months, and all you did was delay it until Super Bowl. And nobody cared at that point. You already took the tag title away from him. And then he lost it 2 months later to Macho Man, who lost it the very next night to Hulk Hogan, which they did that 2 years in a row, where Macho Man won the title at Spring, won the title one night, and then the very next night, job to Hogan. It's not Hogan's fault, probably. That being said, from one little stinger and old, who turned into an older, fatter stinger.
With great limits.
With great, yes, with great limits comes great cheeseburgers. No, thank you, Sting. From seemingly and most often not being a raging piece of crap and being awesome and going out the way you did, where most people get the Montreal screw job or just get booked elsewhere and not booked at all.
Or
thank you.
Baron Corbin. Thank you.
We're being a Karen, Karen Borbin? Born,
or beaten by Karen Darren Corbin. Corbin. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well. Craig, I think that's it for this week. We'll be back next week. Stay up. Well, after tonight made me think about things, so I'll discuss, I'll talk to you guys off air. So we'll be back. Yeah. Craig, we're, oh, Conrad called him a liar and said Hogan stroked his Fu Manchu and said, that doesn't work for me, brother, but louder. Yeah. Eric casually added in Sting wasn't prepared. He hadn't been tanning. So Conrad went off and started yelling. I have got to hear this. Dude, fuck you, Eric. That's worse. That's not true at all. Oh, God damn it. Put him and Russo in a room and pump it full of... never mind. Craig, where can people follow you?
They can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, X and Threads at Craig Ligon, CRAIGLIGGEONS.
Follow me on Threads. Follow me on Threads. Threads, Hive, Blue Sky. X, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Kick, DanLaw83, TikTok, Snapchat. Snapchat, add an extra 8. For Craig Ligon's, I am the above average comedian, Dan Calchico. We will see you next time. Tell the Young Bucks, keep it on the paper.